Well, it's great to be back in the sanctuary, isn't it? And, you know, but truthfully, when we met over there, that was a sanctuary too. The sanctuary means to set apart, a place that's set apart for God, to glorify Him. But it's nice to be back in here, and it's good to see all of you. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you so much for today. It's exciting for us to be back in our main sanctuary. It's exciting to see the things that you've blessed us with. But Father, most importantly, you are exciting to us. The fact that we have a relationship with you through faith in your Son, we praise you for that. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for us and raising for us, a payment for sin and as a reality of victory that we can share in you, that victory. Thank you, dear Holy Spirit, for the work that you do in each of our hearts and in our church. And we covet, Father, for you to send your Spirit to just be in our midst in a way that is distinctively clear. We pray, Father, that our hearts, Father, will not be hard or ears deaf, but that our ears will be open and sensitive to you and our hearts will be receptive to the things you have for us. And I pray we'll walk away today being blessed, Father, by your word and blessed by the fellowship and blessed by you, dear Holy Spirit. And I ask, Father, please, that your name will be lifted up high and that you will be glorified. For we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus. And Father, our upcoming presidents or whomever you have, Father, we trust you with your will in that and help us as your children to continue to pray. For you are in control, you have the upper hand, and we trust you. For we ask all these things in Jesus' name, amen. That this morning I want to talk to you about something that, you know, I'm going to mention a word to you this morning that is really not a word in the dictionary, but you should be able to identify with it and see it. The word is religionless. Religionless. Instead of saying without religion, I'm using the term religionless. And so the reason why I'm doing that is because I want us to understand that there is a fact that we need to, and how we identify ourselves through a religionless faith. Isn't that kind of weird? A religionless faith. Because what we need to do is make the distinction between religion and our faith. And that'll help us to identify our relationship with Jesus. And so what does religionless faith look like? In a biography by Diedrich Bonhoeffer, you heard me mention him a couple of times in previous messages, he's quoted as saying, Christ did not just die for us, he lived for us, he lived by faith and life. And what I want us to understand and focus on here is that he lived by faith and life. Oftentimes we think about Jesus who died on the cross for us, was buried and rose, and that he did, and that's our victory. That's the joy that we have in knowing him. But also he set the example that he lived by faith in his Father. Whatever the Father told him to do, he did. Outside of that, he didn't do. He was faithful. And so a religionless Christian life is clearly seen by living a life of faith and righteousness. And that righteousness meaning living right in God's eyes. In any circumstance, whether good or bad. Learning to rely on God, trust on God, walk with God, believe in God, and experience God through the wonderful times and through the horrible times. That no matter what we are facing, that we can cling to Him, walk with Him, and our life exemplifies our faith in Him. I wrote, if Christianity is simply religion, that is church and religious jargon, then it is not Christianity. If we just go to church, if we just proclaim that we're a Christian, without faith, it's empty. It's nothing. Okay? And so church is good. We know that. I'm not saying that we are to walk away from church, walk away from worshiping God together, encouraging God, encouraging each other together, or serving God through different ministries in the church. Christ set up the church. He established the church. He structured the church. He wants us in church because he wants us to grow and to be strong and to be fortified through the body of Christ, because Christ is working through us to make us what he wants us to be. And so church is good as God intended it, but it is an outward expression of the Christian life. It's an outward expression. If you go to church and people see you going to the church, most likely they're going to say, oh, they're Christians, they're going to church. It's an outward expression of the Christian life. I want us to look on the back of your bulletin, if you choose to or not, and I want to look at the example of the difference between religion and living a life of faith. And it's more focused on that living a life of faith through any circumstance. And so we're going to look at an example from the persecuted church, International Prayer for the Persecuted Church. And this is dealing with a young pastor's wife, Jing Jai, and she's a great example of one who lived her faith. Christianity was not just a religion to her, and so let's read the account of what went on with her life. As the date of her long-anticipated release from prison neared, Jing Jai wondered whether her young sons would even remember her. She spent the last 2 years at a labor camp in China, and she didn't see her sons at all during her imprisonment. Jing Jai, a young mother, a pastor's wife, and a former kindergarten director, never anticipated her in 2014, her arrest. It was her role as the director of the Huan Lin Foreign Language Experimental Kindergarten, that's a long title, that took her to prison for 2 years. Chinese authorities charged the school and its administration of illegal business operations, unquote, due to the use of what the authorities called religious curriculum. The school was closed and four people associated with it, including Jing Jai, were arrested. Her husband was allowed to visit once a month, but the children, who were 1 and 3 years old when she was arrested, were not allowed to come. During their visits, the husband and wife encouraged one another, but the guards refused to allow him to give Jing a Bible. But God provided her with a copy of his word another way. Another prisoner had one, and she traded it to Jing Jai for some other items. Despite the long work hours, Jing read the Bible faithfully every night and found encouragement in God's word. She also taught her cellmates songs, hymns, and Bible stories. In February of 2016, Jing Jai's sentence was complete, and she was released. It took a while for her 3 and 5 year old sons to warm up to her, but the family is grateful to be reunited. Though it was hard on Du Hengbo, her husband, to care for the boys on his own, he said God gave him health during that time so he could take care of the children. Today, the family faces an uncertain future. They don't know what life will hold for them. Jing Jai's prison record is a black mark against the family. It will be difficult to find work, and her sons may not be allowed to enter school. Though they were reluctant to leave behind their church family, Du Hengbo decided the church belongs to God. They are preparing to relocate. No matter what the circumstance, Jing Jai in jail made the best of it for Christ. She lived her faith. She was known by sharing the gospel with other people, her desire to be in God's word, her reading and her praying, sharing hymns and all these types of things. She started basically a Bible study in jail. And she lived out her faith that way, and it was not identified by her going to church as being a Christian, or her proclamation, I'm a Christian. It was by her action. It was by her works. It was by her commitment. And most and above all, it was because of her love for Jesus. And so when we realize that religionless faith is identifying your life and my life as living faithful for Christ through all things, and not summed up by the external works in our life for Christ. You understand? The external. It's good to come to church. It's good to proclaim you're a Christian. But those are outward signs that should reflect the inward heart and evidenced by our lives and how we live for Him. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." That's what God intended for us, to walk by faith, not by sight. Or in Matthew 6:33a, it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." Remember, righteousness is not placing ourselves above other people. It's simply a way of living a life that we know is good and pleasing to God. So now God makes it clear that our faith should reveal our works. If we have works without faith backing it up, it's in vain. If we have works without love, it's in vain. And so we need to remember that. In James 2:18-24, it says, "But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead?" You're saying, "Well, that sounds contradictory to what you just said." No. "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar?" And then look closely at verse 22. "Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect," complete, "and mature." And so works have to be, or should be, evidence of our faith in Christ. What would happen if we didn't live by faith, but we did works for Christ? One, I think about that passage of Scripture that Jesus said when they stood before him, "But we've done this, 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 and this for your name's sake. And Jesus said, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." Or what if we live the way we want to outside of the will of God during the week, but we profess our faith in Christ as a Christian and we go to church? What example, what do you think people would consider about that? Hypocrisy, right? And so the Scripture was fulfilled, which says, "Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness." And I love this. "And he was called the friend of God." If God can look at Abraham and count him as being a righteous man and his friend, you and I should realize and understand that God can look at you and I and say, "You are righteous, pleasing me in your lifestyle and your walk, okay, and you are my friend." In fact, when we are walking in the way that God wants us to walk, doing what we know is good in God's eyes, that is evidence that we are his friend. And he relates to us and calls us his friend. Verse 24, "You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only." The natural thing would be that our faith would produce works. But our works don't always represent faith. You understand that? And that's so important for us to reconcile in our own hearts and our own lives whether we are living out the faith, and that the outcome of that is our works or service to God. If we only have works without faith, it is nothing. But if we have works as a result of our faith, we have something. That's something great to hold on to. Faith should be the core of who you are, and works the outward expression of your faith. You know, authenticity of the believer is powerful as a witness to those that we're around. If people see your authenticity, your consistency of your proclaimed faith in Christ, they'll know that what you are saying is real and genuine and consistent, and that Jesus is in and a part of your life and you're in him. And that will be the testimony that really hits and affects people. So if we're to strip ourselves of religion, let's say we're to strip ourselves of the works that we do or the church we go to, and we take all those external things that reflect that we're believers, and we strip ourselves of those things and we become religionless, would people see our lives living faithfully for Christ? How do we behave at work, school, wherever? Are we representing Jesus? Our faith should be clothed in religious expression, but never should our religion be without faith. Understand that? We clothe ourselves with religion expression, our proclamation of our faith, going to church, but it should never be without faith. God sums it up this way in his word, Romans 13:14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. This command here is to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Our terminology and idiom in English to put on is to be hypocritical. I'm putting you on, right? But that's not what's meant here. It's meant in the literal sense. We are to put on Christ. Not making provision for our fleshly desires, and to fulfill its lust. And lust there is not just physical lust. It's talking about the desires that we have that are so strong that are outside the will of God. And we should never be seeking that, but seeking God. Clothing ourselves in Christ is not an outward act of religion. Clothing ourselves in Christ is not an outward act of religion, like we talked about. It's not an outward expression. We're called to intentionally clothe ourselves with Christ. But it is an act of faith and righteousness in Christ. Let me read that statement again. Clothing ourselves in Christ is not an outward act of religion, but an act of faith and righteousness in Christ. Let me say it another way. To put on Christ is not an outward act of religion, but an act of faith and righteousness in Christ. We must take the step of faith. We must make the decision. If God's commanded us to put him on, it means to learn about him through his word, to know how he's leading us, and to yield to that, to where it transforms our life to represent him. That's what it means to put on Christ, that we become like him. But we have to first have that desire to make the decision to say, I am going to follow Christ, and by doing so, I'm learning of him, and as learning of him, I'm discipling or being discipled, or I am a disciple, and I am putting on Christ in practical application. I've learned this in God's word. God says this. I want to live the way God wants me to live, and we make the decision to do so. That's putting on Christ. And Job 29:14, the first part of that verse, the word says, I put on righteousness and it clothed me. Interesting thought. You see, clothing is not who we are. Righteousness here is who we are. The acts of doing good that God knows is right, that we know that pleases God. Who we are is not how we dress or what car we drive or what house we live in or what job we have. Even though the world expresses itself that way and finds its security in that. But for the believer, who we are is not that external stuff. Who we are is who we are in our heart and how we live in a way that honors God. Now, I don't want to put any bad imagery in your head, but if I was stripped of my clothes, that would be who I am. But my clothes is not me, or are not me. So we're first, in order to clothe ourselves in righteousness, we have to make the decision that we want to. And then we need to be baptized or immersed. You need to be baptized or immersed. Now, here's an interesting thing about that. We say, okay, I receive Christ as my Savior. God tells me, believe first and then be baptized. It's a conscious act of obedience to God. So you get in the water and you're baptized. And you come up, okay, I've done that. But in this particular instance, it is different than that. You've heard me use the word imbued. It means like a dry sponge being put in water, and it totally absorbs the water in and throughout its fibers. We are to find our life and our heart totally imbued or filled up in the things of God. That's what it means here, to be baptized or immersed. It's not just a physical act of going in the water. I dive into Jesus. I desire to jump into the treasures of Christ. I desire to know Him to the fullest degree. I desire to live for Him. I desire to know Him. I desire to reflect Him. I desire to be a child of light. That's learning how to be immersed in Jesus. Galatians 3:26-27 says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ," get this, "have put on Christ." You see that correlation there? I've been baptized into Christ, not just a physical baptism, but I have been baptized, identified as being baptized or immersed in Christ because I've made the decision to put on Christ, to live for Christ, to be transformed by the power of God in my life as I yield to Him and follow Him. So we're to stop doing and thinking the way you did. If we're going to be immersed in Christ, baptized in Christ, it's a change of mind. It's a change of focus. It's a change of priority. It's a change of lifestyle. It's a change of everything that we are in the flesh to be everything we can be in Christ Jesus. And so we are to stop doing and thinking the way you did. I'm not going to think outside of Christ. Let me explain that. When I make decisions, it's because I want to follow God's will. My conduct, I don't want to live my conduct as anyone else does outside of Christ, but I want to live my conduct in view of the way God wants me to. That's a conscious decision of thinking the way God wants us to think. And so we're to stop being like we used to be without Christ and be who God wants us to be in Christ. Stop doing and thinking the way you did. We're to learn those new ways to behave and the things to think on from the Word. In Ephesians 4:22-24, it says that you put off, that's a decision. First, the Scripture says, put on Christ. Be baptized or immersed in Him. And now the Word of God says that you put off concerning what? Your former conduct, thinking differently. Put off your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. I'm going to follow what I want. I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to fulfill what I want outside of God's will. That's a deceitful action of the enemy, if not even our own sinful nature, that draws us away from God. God doesn't want that for us. But He wants us to put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Do you find yourself, as you get closer to Jesus, realizing that I'm not the person that I used to be? That I think differently than I used to? That I view life differently than I used to? That my priorities in life are not like they used to be or in line with the way of the world, but in line with the way of God and His Word? And so we're to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. When we identify that we're changing and being transformed to be more like Christ, that's exciting. My old man is dying and I'm becoming a new person in Christ. And what I'm seeing not only glorifies Christ, but fills my life with such joy because I'm that much more closer to Him and like Him. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on, another decision, another action, the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Do you know that when you put on the new man, that God has already determined what the new man is that He wants you to be? You know, it's not just, and listen carefully, it's not just yielding to Christ, although that's the top priority, but the outcome of yielding to Christ is God shapes us into a new vessel that's different than what we used to be. And that's cool. That's really cool. God has taken what I used to be and changed me completely into a vessel that you look at and you go, that is a beautiful vessel that honors God. How cool is that? I just absolutely love that. So how do we clothe ourselves with faith and righteousness? Here's one more idea. Start wearing God's clothing, his character and ways each day. Wear God. Put on Christ every day. Yield to what he calls us to be. Live by faith in him. Surrender to his leadership in our lives because we don't belong to ourselves anymore. We belong to him. In Colossians 3:12, it says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Did you catch that? Put on. It is an action as a result of the decision that I am going to behave as God would intend for me to do. I'm going to show mercy because I have seen God's mercy in my life. I have experienced God's mercy. I didn't get what I deserve, and I know it. God has given me mercy, therefore I'm going to show mercy to others. God has been kind to me in so many ways, therefore I'm going to intentionally be kind to others. God is not arrogant with me, but very humble in his conduct with me. He loves me. There's that gentleness, that humility in Christ, and therefore I will be humble and have humility in Christ. I'm going to be meek like Christ is. Christ didn't, he said, his time to be recognized as King of Kings and Lord of Lords on earth was not when he was here physically, but when he returns. Amen. And so he was very meek. And you and I are not to seek our own, but to seek the benefit of others by being meek. And we're to be long-suffering because Christ suffered a long time. I can't imagine how each minute on the cross seemed like how long before that minute passed. We must take action each day. We must put on God's character each day. It takes a daily effort. But with God, the putting on of God's character is easier as we yield to him. And we're to try to display these character traits of God on our own. To try to display these character traits of God on our own would be impossible. Amen. And you might say, well, that's outside of being a believer. Mm-mm. If we're not dependent by faith to ask God, God, it's very hard for me to be merciful in this situation. I need you to help me to be merciful as you've been merciful to me. Any given situation, we have to rely on God and say, God, this is hard for me because it's against my nature, but I'm asking you to help me to put on you, your character. It's a decision. That's what God has called us to do. Clothing ourselves with Christ keeps us from being religious. It's easy to be religious. It's a challenge to walk by faith. Pride is the one thing that will keep us from being right with Jesus and from living the life of faith and being clothed with righteousness. When we're proud, we say, I don't want to do it your way, God. When we're proud, we say, I deserve better than what you're telling me. When we're proud, we are stepping outside of the will of God for our lives. Pride is the enemy of putting our faith in Christ into action. If we allow pride to intercede in our relationship with God, it will put off the opportunity to put on Christ, to live by faith. Habakkuk 2:4 says, behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. The key in the identity and the realization of one not living by pride in life is one that is living by faith. I will put on Christ. I will allow Him to change my life. I will surrender my life to Him. I will die to my old self. I will follow Him as He leads me. I will learn to live by faith. Jesus lived by faith on earth. You and I are called to live by faith. And as we do, we will discover the wondrous work of God's hand in each of our lives, shaping us, making us, and molding us, and transforming us into what He wants us to be. So, if we were to evaluate ourselves mentally, if we take a minute and say, okay, who am I outside of church, outside of my name, proclaiming that I'm a Christian? Who am I in relationship to my relationship with God? Who am I? Does my core being represent my love for Jesus? We need to look at that. We're to evaluate ourselves mentally outside of our normal religious expression and become religionless and evaluate our faith and righteousness in the midst of our life circumstances. Walk by faith through life circumstances. We will learn whether our religious clothing is truly a reflection of living our faith in Christ. Is my religious clothing a reflection of my faith, my life in Christ? Or is it just external clothing? So, does your lifestyle outside church reflect your faith? It's a good thing to evaluate. We should be able to look quickly and go, hey, I'm living by faith, I'm walking with Jesus, and I'm being transformed by Him. There's no question in my mind, I see that. And I think that if we struggle with that, we need to evaluate that and just continue to give ourselves to God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I do thank You. I do love You. We love You. May our lives reflect that more and more, that we are Your children, children of light, walking by faith and loving You above all else. That we are Your people and that the conduct of our lives reflects that absolutely, clearly, and distinctively to the world around us. That we have courage, Father, to stand on the truth of Your word, to stand on our faith in You, to stand in our love relationship with You in spite of the challenges that may threaten our commitment to You. Like Chang, she kept her faith regardless of the threat. So many have. And I pray, Father, that You help us in our lifestyles in this country to continue to pursue You and to be all that You've called us to be. Bless us, Father, as we leave this place today. Bless the Lord's Supper as we partake of it. And may You be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.